is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Professor Gary J. Bass continues about his monumental reading of 50,000 pages of manuscripts of the tribunal that was held between 1946 and 1948 in Tokyo for war crimes of the Japanese Empire. The book is Judgment at Tokyo, World War II on Trial and the Making of Modern Asia. It is now March of 1948. The trial continues. It's coming to a dramatic conclusion. However, arriving in Tokyo is a man that we know very well here in the 21st century, George Kennan of the State Department, a man associated with the Telegram X that is entirely about the containment of the threat of communism out of the Soviet Union. Kennan is told to go meet MacArthur and express your ideas about how he is handling Japan's transformation from a military cult during the wars of aggression in these last years into a modern state. George Kennan at first is rebuked by General MacArthur, who thinks he's just another harassing State Department executive who's expecting to be treated like a prince. That is not Kennan's style. And eventually, Kennan, staying at the Imperial Hotel, wins a second audience with MacArthur. And herein is a dominant conversation for my understanding of what was happening in 1948 and what we still understand today about Asia. Professor, this is a spectacular scene. George Kennan and Douglas MacArthur sitting in his office talking about Japan as a bulwark. Bulwark for what? What was Kennan's idea, and what did MacArthur make of it? Thank you.
Thank you. So what I'm trying to do in the book is not just tell the story of the trial, but also use the story of the trial to talk about what else is happening in the formation of Asia as we know it today. So the book also, you know, looks at the Chinese Civil War, decolonization in India, and with Kennan and MacArthur, with the coming of the Cold War, that MacArthur's policy in the early part of the occupation is surprisingly liberal in many ways, or progressive, that there is, you know, unionization and land reform, and Japanese women are for the first time allowed to vote in elections in April 1946. So this extraordinary democratization, something called the Civil Liberties Directive, which political prisoners are being released. It's a really heady time for the making of the democracy, the present day democracy that we see in Japan, quite different from the cabinet system and previous Japanese experiments with democracy in the Taisho period. It builds on those, but it's a remarkable thing, that the democratic Japan that we're familiar with. But as the Cold War is setting in, George Kennan, who, as you mentioned, is the mastermind behind the U.S. policy of containment, wrote the X article and the Long Telegram, he thinks that all of this democratization and liberalization, all of these progressive policies that MacArthur, a little against type, is putting in place in Japan, that these things are not what you need in the Cold War. What you need in the Cold War is a strong anti-communist Japan. And the more you liberalize and put in place progressive policies, Kennan thinks, the more you're going to make Japan divided. You're going to open up opportunities for communist subversion. So Kennan gets the job that nobody else in the Truman administration wants, which is to go to Japan and get screamed at by MacArthur. Someone's going to have to do this eventually. And Kennan decides that it's going to be him. And he goes, and at first MacArthur is incredibly condescending, pays very little attention to him. And Kennan finally sort of beseeches him, and gets a sort of, as you said, a second go round where they have a much more candid conversation, where Kennan says, look, if Japan is going to be demilitarized, then it's incredibly, incredibly vulnerable to Soviet invasion. And what you need is to build the stability of it rather than think about democratization. And he actually manages Kennan manages to persuade MacArthur on a couple of things that, you know, you can't, an occupation will never last. The Americans are going to have to go home. The Soviets are a big threat. The United States needs a defensive perimeter, which is going to mean bases in Asia. But MacArthur still thinks democratization is a good idea, and that it's something that the Japanese really want, that the Japanese have really turned against aggression and militarism. And Kennan is much less convinced. Kennan says, the most important thing is that we have a strong Japanese state that won't get picked apart by the communists or invaded by the Soviets.
I was surprised at the detail that MacArthur regarded the Japanese Communist Party as not very interesting and certainly no threat. And Kennan has a completely different understanding and conveys that to MacArthur. The Soviets are no good. Does MacArthur know that at the time, or is it of interest to him?
MacArthur hates the Soviet Union, but he has a fairly realistic assessment that the Japanese Communist Party is, while very, you know, sort of, distinctly linked to the Soviet Union, is not a big electoral threat. And MacArthur is even sometimes, you know, he prefers it when conservative parties win, but he's not up in arms against left-wing socialist Japanese, which is surprising given MacArthur's own, you know, he's a very right-wing guy. But people sometimes surprise you, and MacArthur seems to have learned something from his time in Japan. He comes in with a lot of stereotype, and some of those stereotypes don't survive his encounter with a Japanese public that is really looking to change what their country is.
The Chinese Civil War is ongoing in this moment in history, 1948. And Kennan knows that, and the Truman administration has sent luminaries, including George Marshall, to China over these last 2 years to try to rearrange the Chinese understanding of civil war. This is Mao versus Chiang Kai-shek, which will eventually come to the Maoist takeover of China. Kennan, however, appears to understand that China's not our friend for the future, that Japan is. Am I overreading him, Professor?
No, I think that's exactly right. And that's a huge shift in American policy, that American policy throughout World War II is building up the Republic of China under the nationalists, the Kuomintang, led by Chiang Kai-shek, as the major power in Asia. And what Kennan understands and what MacArthur is coming to understand is that maybe the real prize, the real strategic prize, is not China at all. That China has sort of fallen into civil war. That China is about to be racked with the terrible first years of Mao's rule, the radicalism of Maoist experimentation, where China's going to sort of will be turned almost entirely inward for Mao's devastating repression of his own people, that the real prize might be Japan, that this could be a major industrial power that could be friendly to the United States. And that's the vision that Kennan is pushing.
What's surprising to me is that that is not recognized here, except in your book, in the 21st century. Kennan is all about the Soviet Union. But today what we have is Japan as the beyond bulwark. It's the anchor of American foreign policy in the Pacific right now. And Kennan saw that, 70 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, what is today the third largest economy in the world? In many ways, a model international citizen. So people get many, many things wrong. But recognizing the importance of Japan is something that, you know, it's a remarkable place.
The trial is ongoing. We're going to turn to the verdict. Judgment at Tokyo, World War II on trial in the making of modern Asia. Gary Bass is the author. I'm John Batchelor.